Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, the shadow or the image. Now, if there's a greater verse, everybody loves to tout John 3:16, but if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Folks, there could be nothing greater than that right there. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's the greatest blessing that could ever be. No higher honor, a declaration of, you might say, perfection upon a child of God. And God says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, that man would be like that, but he's not, you see. And yet I see the religious people, the people that go to church. And it doesn't matter if it's Catholic or Protestant or Baptist or what it is. And they're walking daily, but in the shadow. They're yet in their sin. To this day, yet in their sin. If you look at verse 1 of this Hebrews chapter 10. Paul spoke of, he said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Year by year, Sunday by Sunday, every week, calling to the altar that which was finished. I need not walk in the shadow of Christ, but the image of Christ. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 in Hebrews 10. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, but that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Christ came and he fulfilled that thing. I no longer have to be a shadow person, a law person as such, but now can be as Adam when he was first created by God in God's image, not his shadow, you see. Most all we know who claim Christ are yet walking in the shadow. And surely this preacher that I had words with a few weeks ago up in Burnet, a shadow. They make a cottage industry of remembrance of sins. It's like, well, if we do away with that, why are we going to have church? Do you see? They believe and teach an incomplete sacrifice. Shadow blood. That which happened 2,000 years ago, they treat it, it's just history. It's just an historical fact. And today, with it, it's just a shadow. Just as the Holy Ghost. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? I mean, does God live in you? Does Christ live in you? And thus, they're not able to do all things, you see. It becomes just a type. John, hey. It becomes just a type, a profession. And they take this profession of faith, and it's like a shadow. It's like they've gone back to the law. Yeah, they don't kill the goats and the bulls, but man, you can see them at the altar, and they come back week after week after week. The MacArthurites, they actually believe Christ's blood, but just went in the dirt, and it became a type, you see, that it's not at the mercy seat of Christ. And they laugh at those that believe that it's at the mercy seat of Christ. A shadow. I'm going to tell you that what I received in conversion was not a shadow, else I'd still be in my sins. I received the very image. And the very image is Christ and his atoning blood residing in heaven, ever cleansing, ever washing. If you're not yet perfected once for all, folks, you're in a heap of trouble. You're yet a shadow. If you look at verse 18 there in Hebrews 10, now where remission of these is, do you see it? There is no more offering for sin. No more offering. When Christ said it was finished, except for the shadow people, you see. Stuck in the, what you might call the sin, repent, merry-go-round. And they're like the directions on you ever read the directions on a shampoo bottle? You know what it says? Wash, rinse, and what? Repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. You know why? Because it's business. It's business, you see. Folks, I got off that train 20 years ago. And every time I have contact with those people, those shadow people, they're still going, wash, rinse, repeat. Rededication, they call it. Wash, rinse, repeat. You know, children in natural, they got to be kept under the law. Also sinners. Children and sinners must be kept under the law. Okay? And that's why we have a belt. But I'd hope and pray that somewhere along the line that one might reach an age where they no longer desire to be under, you might say, their parents or the law. How old are you, Corbin?
17.
Would you like to reach a point where you don't have to live under your parents anymore? Have your own place? You'd like to have your own place? Wow, what a phenomenon. Never met a 17-year-old, didn't. Like to have his own place, his own vehicle? He'd like to drive the boat. He'd like to run the show. He's 17 years old. If he didn't, there'd be something wrong with him, you see. I mean, he can go off to war, kill people, get killed. And so you have to reach a certain age, a certain place in every walk, you see. Life, natural life, is a reflection of our type, a type of our walk in Christ. And while yet growing up at home, we're under the law. We're under somebody else's law. We're under somebody else's roof, and rightfully so. But all must reach an age where they leave the nest. It's the natural order of things. Nature itself teaches it. Are we not to take a wife and what? Leave father and I've preached that for years and years. And some of you know the fruits of it. You leave father and mother. When I married that, I got her as far away as I possibly could. Because I needed to break that bond. When I moved out of the house, when I grew up and I moved out of the house, I didn't move down the street. I didn't move next door. If I could have, I'd have probably gone to Afghanistan. There wasn't a war then. That's natural. Well, in Christ, the elect are such. Do you want to still be under the law? Do you still want to have to kill bulls? Goats? You still want to have to go see a priest and he puts blood on your ear? In essence, that's what they're still doing. You see? The entire chapter of Galatians 4, turn over to Galatians chapter 4. This entire chapter deals with this. In verse 1, he said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Do you see it? When shall their time come? When shall your time come? Look at verse 4 through verse 6. "But when the fullness of time was come." This is not something that's coming. "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, that's the image. That's not the shadow. That's the image. Paul saw this. Verse 19, when he came, he said, "My little children." You see, they weren't ready. They hadn't reached this. "Of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." You remember what he told in 1 Corinthians? He said, "You're yet carnal. I can't preach these things to you." He may as well have said, "You're still shadow people. When are you going to be formed in the image? When are you going to have the image?" Verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman." And then verse 28 and 20, "Now we brethren, as Isaac was, we're the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." That's exactly what happened. That's what I encountered from that preacher up the country, or any other who's yet a shadow. It seems to be in the shadow of this thing. Go back over the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. You'll very seldom, if ever, hear this preached, this verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Don't preach that. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Remember, anybody know Romans 6:2? "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin?" Look at it. You're looking at me like you don't know it. "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, what, live any longer therein?" But they won't have it. They simply will not have it. To them, it's a shadow verse. Now think about this thing. If you don't remember anything else this morning, think about when you read these verses, about all the, are they looking at it like a shadow or an image? Is it just a type, or is it real? We used to sing that, what's that song? Pentecostals used to sing, "My God is real." Did you ever sing, "My God is real"? You see? Look at verse 6 in Romans 6. "Knowing this," not thinking, not believing, "knowing that our old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Shadow? Is that a shadow? Is it an image? Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 9. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Is that a shadow? Oh, you don't believe we're actually, you see? "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." Verse 14, "Many led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God." How about this? 1 John 3:6. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. That's the king of shadow verses. You ever hear him try to preach that thing? Away with him, they'd cry. Don't listen to that guy. Well, I just read you the word of God. You see? You don't understand the scriptures. Well, I understand it very well. You see? Well, yeah, but it's just imputed. There comes the word. That's just, all that's just imputed. It isn't real. It's only imputed. It's a shadow. It's a type. Well, okay, what about verse 9 of 1 John 3? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. No. You don't get it. No. You don't understand. That doesn't really happen. It's a shadow. See? It's a type. Listen, folks. If this book, if these verses are but imputed, we'd all be of all men most miserable. What was I? Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They said, no, wait. God can't forget. I remember. Wait, God can't forget. God, please don't forget I'm a sinner. It seems silly. That's the way it really is. I've put up with it. I've watched it for years and years. Oh, God, please don't forget I'm a sinner. I have to close church down. We're all just sinners. Now, turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews is a glorious book. Next to, as you all know, Romans is my favorite book, followed by Hebrews. Had an old deacon in this church, and his favorite book was Hebrews, and I think followed by, I don't know what, but he liked Hebrews. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express shadow, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Oh, purged. Y'all know what that means. I hope you do. Oh, that's just imputed. That's not purged. You say you don't believe it? Yeah, I believe in imputation. For justification. I was declared innocent even though I was guilty. That I understand. But not so that I could remain guilty. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How about the angels? Verse 14. Are they imputed? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3 in Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was what? Confirmed, not imputed, confirmed unto us by them that heard it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I believe that the crux of the matter lies in the word imputed. Or rather, their interpretation of the word imputed. You see, they side on the shadow end of such. I on the image. And once again, this is carried through to conversion. And there you have it. Now hear me. What God says that I am, I am. It was imputed to me to be born a man. Am I a man? Yes. So in religion, they become as what all these trannies, these trans people, transgender and trans whatever, you see. Well, I'm not really, I just identify, you see. Now, I wanted to read you, this is what that preacher told me. I'm reading it from his text. This is exactly what he said. John, listen to what he said. In our justification, we are at the same time righteous and sinful. See, I was thinking that our text said that our sins and iniquities God will remember no more. I don't know about you, but I don't really much care about anybody else. He said, in one sense, we're just. In another sense, we're sinners, which to me makes no sense. In and of ourselves, under God's scrutiny, we still sin. But by God's imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our accounts, we're considered just. By who? And then he says, I love this. He says, what part of that is error? That's what he said. Lord have mercy. Right there. Shadow versus image. Once again, Hebrews 2:3, if we neglect so great salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not considered a new creature. And all things are become new. Who's going to tell me that I'm in the vine, the true vine, and yet corrupt? How on God's earth? But you see, as the blood, the vine's not literal to them. Lord have mercy. Shadow versus image. God knows. Remember those in Matthew 7? And they cried, Lord, Lord, and haven't we done? And even cat, we've done this and we've done because of what they did. Instead of what? Who they were. Were they not shadows? Was Adam made in God's shadow? Were you remade in God's shadow? Or God's image? Now, I wrote a short prologue to this. I laughed this past week. I was talking to a friend of mine. They have a rather large Baptist church. I say, I don't know what's considered large anymore. I think they run 200s. And of course, with this virus going around, they couldn't hold church in person. And so he said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. He said, we only took in $1,000 this week. I said, yeah, so? I said, he said, well, we can't pay the preacher. We can't pay the preacher. You know what I've preached for years? Some of you may not heard. John, listen, I'm going to tell you what I've preached, boy. Stop paying those preachers, you'll find out who God called. Because the man that God calls not there for the money. He's there because God called him. Our message in Romans 6:2, God forbid, how shall we continue in sin That's exactly why Brother James St. John, he was in West Off, Texas, and that verse came to his mind, and he stopped that tractor, and he jumped off that tractor hooping and hollering. I don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. And that's right where he left the Baptist. That's where I left the Baptist. They said, you preach that, we won't pay you. And he said, who in the world cares? You see, as long as the apple cart has rotten apples, they're open for business. The shadow relies on numbers, the image but Christ. Do you have Christ in you, or simply the knowledge of Christ? And the difference is eternal. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yeah.